Other comments? Yes, ma'am.
I'm Bonnie Colson from Owlshead. And part of my concern is that the goals that outlined early on in the process, and there are three of them, do not include supporting the coastal communities and islands and the fishing and recreational activities that take place on the oceans. And I think they should. And I think this, to some extent, is following up on Richard's point. And I do understand also that the coastal communities and the fishing industry is not specifically represented on any of the RFP, on the RFP, and I think they should be. It's one thing that they can come and give comment, but frankly, if the opportunity for comment is limited to 4 minutes, as it is tonight, I think that's not terribly helpful. And I think stakeholders really need to be represented on the in the decision making, not just talking to people, but in making the decisions. And I think that needs to happen, and that needs to happen soon. And I hope it would happen before the final plan is adopted. It's interesting that both the Mi'kmaqs and the Maliseets, who are in Aroostook County, have direct representation on the RFP, and the coastal communities that I live in don't. And that's a concern to me. And if I have any time left, I'll yield it to Rachel.
I think we're going to have plenty of time. So does anyone else want to comment? Yes, sir.
Vicky Tester from the Island Institute. I think part of the difficulty that we're all having here with the plan tonight is that, from a federal perspective, it seems like you're coming down to the regional level, coming down to maybe the state level, engaging more with stakeholders. But when you get to folks who live and work here and work on the water day in and day out, you're not getting to that level. And so there's a disconnect between saying we're going to go and engage stakeholders and then sitting here in this room and knowing that very few federal agencies make it up to Maine when they're doing a project. Or maybe they'll come to Portland, maybe they'll come to Rockland, but they might not come and talk with the folks who are impacted. And so I think that just disconnect between the scale of what it means to be operating as a federal agency and what it means to be living in a coastal community here is important to keep in mind. I really appreciate the best practice in Chapter 4 about accounting for how important ocean space is to particular communities and looking at whether the cumulative impacts of a particular use might wipe out a community's ability to use nearby ocean space. That's really important for our island and coastal communities here in Maine. Without having a provision like that, without at least being able to say this is an important issue, a project may not have regional scale impacts, but could have very significant local impacts. So that's an important provision in the plan. And I also appreciate the best practice around research agencies developing protocols for ensuring effective advanced communications with stakeholders. That is also really important. We've had some issues with that over the last couple of years, and that's a great way to keep improving that coordination. I think one of the concerns I have is the process for IDing who needs to be engaged in these conversations. And so I think a specific focus on how the data helps federal agencies ID potentially impacted stakeholders would be helpful. With fisheries data, you can get to the point of saying, well, there's somebody fishing for groundfish there. There's somebody involved in the multi-species fishery there. But that doesn't tell you whether they're fishing out of Port Clyde or Portland or Gloucester or New Bedford. It doesn't tell you how to reach them. There isn't a provision in the plan that I've seen so far that says, and the next step should be go talk to the Fisheries Management Council, go talk to the state agencies, go talk to the industry associations for groundfish. I think there needs to be another step in the plan beyond what is there for just saying, identify that somebody is involved in the multi-species fishery, and then what? There's not, that next step is important to take. and I think a best practice, the best practices for stakeholder engagement, it's just a public forum like the RPB has had for the ecosystem-based management and some of the other things. To go over those, it's one thing to do best practices for engagement between federal agencies, but I think there's a lot of folks who'd want to have opinions on best practices for engaging stakeholders.
Yes, please.
Richard Nelson again. Let me just say that part of my problem is we just got this thing. No, we can't. And it's very hard to organize so many different directions of thoughts here and bring them to this, to a comment that's unified comments that make sense and stuff. And another problem I'm going to have as a fisherman is that this is summertime. I'm going to have to go to work. You know, I could sit here for the next, these 60 days, or whatever is left of these 60 days, and start to organize my thoughts and write those comments down and things. But I might as well, the way, as much time as it takes me to do that and to write, and I can write, but it's just a slow process. Is going to take up most of my summer to do that. You know what I mean? So these are my opportunities to somehow to get any points across or something. And we're just, I feel backed into a corner, you know, that I've given a lot of time and thought to this process. And now here it is, 60 days. I got to go fishing now. And this just can't do everything, you know? So I'm asking at least for your a little help here somehow. Under your commercial and recreational fishing thing, this thing starts off, commercial fishing in New England, a long and storied history. Its importance culturally and economically has lasted hundreds of years, becoming part of tales of New England's culture. This sounds to me like a eulogy. A eulogy for fishing that's now gone and going to be replaced very soon by new ocean uses. What are those uses? All these other things that have been interjected, falsely interjected, because they're not even necessarily out on the water in New England yet. We don't have sand mining we've never discussed sand mining in New England. This is not part of our conversation up here. We have the very infant state of an energy, wind energy thing going on here now. But before that, we've had nothing here before. So we're eulogizing an industry which has been here for 400 years. We've interjected a lot of things that don't necessarily, I can't say that they don't belong here. Yes, anything belongs in this because it's an open. Again, I need to organize my thoughts. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'll be here for another while.
Okay.
Any other comments? Yes, sir.
I have a couple of more clarifying questions I probably should have been asked earlier. So Kyle Moulton from Knobs County's Resource Center. First of all, I'm noticing that there's only one person who's self-identified as a fisherman. I'm wondering, what kind of outreach? I really applaud the fact that we have a public meeting in Ellsworth, public meeting here. I think that's done a good job of going out and recognizing the community's name. But I'm forgetting how I even learned this, but I have different mechanisms to figure out about meetings like this than a lot of the guys that are working fishing, so I'm wondering what the process was to do outreach
two people in the Christian community.
And then the second question is more about the public comment process. I must admit, I just haven't digested any of the documents yet. Are there particular areas of the document that you guys feel are like particularly weak or need? Like, are there priority areas for public comment that so we can sort of focus a little bit? I usually hate using excuses that takes a really long for a reason not to dive into them, but it is a lot, particularly for folks who don't get paid to respond to things like this. And so if there's any way to focus folks' attention on particular issues that members of the planning body think need more attention, I think that would be helpful.
Okay. You want to answer?
Well, I'll take a shot at it. I think you said you're a commercial fisherman?
I am not. I was just referencing.
Oh, okay. Well, from the council's point of view, we would certainly depend on the expertise and the opinion of fishermen as to whether they think this plan is strong enough or goes far enough or contains the information, the requisite best practices in order to ensure that the fishing industry has good visibility when competing ocean resources are being, competing ocean activities are being considered. The council itself is hopeful that this plan will achieve that. And, what we would like to hear from people is, do they see any weaknesses or problems where there may be some deficiencies?
As far as how we got the word out to folks, there was a press release that went out to a number of media sources, both print and TV and radio, I believe. And I know that list included a lot of the local community papers, included the Working Waterfront, included CFN, I believe the Maine Lobsterman Association, so there probably was also. I think, as far as fishing industry communications, I think we use the usual channels and advertising in paper, which I know I saw in the local blogging paper. So
that's all.
Just to quickly answer your question about clarifying question about what would be helpful to comment on. I guess we're hoping that part of the benefit of breaking it out by topic is you go first to sort of what pertains best to your interest. So that would be helpful. I mentioned the important ecological area framework we're really looking for feedback on. We're going to have another work group meeting that's open about that later this summer. So that would be another area. And then what happens next in terms of implementation? We've heard some comments already from Nick and others about how folks want to weigh in on what that will look like, what that should look like. That would, the forward-leaning comments were really helpful too, because as I said as well, this is just a foundation for moving forward, and so we'd really like some feedback on what you think would be effective. So thanks for the question.
Did you want to comment?
Yeah, Bonnie Post again, and my family fishes, so at least two of us here. Kind of lost my train of thought again with that, but I'm going to go back then because I did lose my train of thought totally.
That was an important comment.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Yeah.
Nick Batista from the Island Institute again. Just wanted to say that we've been following this process for the last 3.5 years, and part of why we've been following it is to help give our island and coastal communities in Maine a bigger voice in some of these federal decision-making processes where we sometimes struggle to have a voice. And while there's a lot in the plan that I might want to improve or change or don't quite agree with everything that's in there, I think overall it does give us a stronger voice in federal decision-making processes, and it does, perhaps more importantly, give us the ability to start a dialogue with federal agencies and say, you didn't engage with us in the right way here. we'd rather you engage with us this way next time. And so that's not going to change something over the next 6 months, 8 months, year. But 10 years from now, hopefully we'll have a stronger voice in decisions about our coastal waters.
Richard Nelson again. Part of, I'm assuming, I think Ron mentioned the Statoil project before, which never really got going in Maine. But it did go through most of the BOEM initial processes. And this is what really got me involved in this thing. So I think it's worth describing it as such that to me that they had the public hearings and I engaged in the written comment process and the verbal comments of the public hearings and when they did a best practices meetings and all of it, I was highly disappointed. And that's being kindly worded. I don't think it's almost like they're an organization or an agency that carried out these functions, but nobody was there whose job was to really listen, you know, or to really engage anybody. It was always just to have that meeting. You know, we have a meeting tonight, they just have the meeting, check it out, and such. So I left there with thinking that this process, this planning, ocean planning process, is another choice, you know, which has potential, and we were creating it as we went, as such to a certain degree, and I'm not, you know, was 100% happy with how it was created, but it's still there, and there's a lot of positive elements, and there's a lot of positive elements in here, which my initial conversation was trying to get at, and I'm sorry we never got to. And Nick's meant so, brought up some of the things as far as in engaging the sense of getting back to from maps back to fishing communities and all. There's a lot of good stuff in there. And I enjoy that. And as far as getting back to my BOEM conversation here, I initially read through their section on the energy and infrastructure, and I said, my God, well, there's nothing new in here. You know, this is all just same old stuff here. And, you know, they said they had a couple of different methods they were trying in offshore energy things, but I think to myself, well, there isn't any offshore. The only thing is in Rhode Island, and that's a state project, and it's pretty much under the auspices of that Rhode Island plan. So that, anyhow, you get through it. Then all of a sudden, towards the end here, and in their EI6 thing of the thing, it says, they have a thing, engage industry and stakeholders in renewable energy strategic planning and administrative processes in order to better understand and meet potential challenges to continue to development of the offshore renewable energy industry. BOEM and Department of Energy will periodically request responses from industry. I don't know exactly what industry, you know. What I'm getting at here is this is a beam of light in the darkness today. So this is something that we should have. There's nobody from BOEM here tonight, but it's something that needs to be really looked at, because it's something to someone myself is a really real and positive thing. This is what I want. I want to be proactively engaged in what's going to happen in New England as far as offshore energy is going to come down here. And I think other people besides need to be involved. The fishermen need to be involved proactively. recreational people, all the people need to be involved. Somewhere else, I have 150, and page 156, under the monitoring things, you have forming an expert group, I think. And I just kind of chuckled because this is an expert group, and then you start to describe the definition of expert. And it's like going back to the EBM group or many of the other groups here, is that you seem to leave off anybody who's actually working on the ocean. You know? That somehow those people, those local, place-based knowledge people are left off again. And there's no reason for that. There's no need to leave people off. Again, I'll reiterate that I was engaged in this Ocean Acidification Commission here in Maine, not as an expert, as a fisherman. And it worked. That body worked because people, the scientists were on there, fishermen, the politicians, and the agency people from the state, all were paddling in the same direction, all had something to give to that body. So I would look at that type of thing, to develop something that where stakeholders can truly engage with BOEM and different agencies in the development of strategic planning for offshore wind, into monitoring plans or whatever have you in here, to engage people as a real and meaningful stakeholder contribution.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
And under the definition of a comment, I would like to strongly encourage that either at the end of the plan or well, end of the plan, that a very clear roadmap be laid out for energy developers and the path that they should pursue. That may not change from the way it is now, but at least it will reaffirm or confirm what you need to do and where you start and what the paths are. You understand what I'm saying? Just a very clear roadmap. And as far as what kind of energy projects are off the coast, I can't speak a whole bunch. It just wouldn't be right if people were involved. But there's a lot more being talked about in early planning that a lot of people know. We're talking some major stuff off the coast. It's not dead. It is kind of quiet right now. But in a couple of years, it's going to be very noisy. It's there and it's coming. So we need to know what we need to do. I mean, you're going to put $100 million on the table, you'd like to know what you need to do. That's it.
So, I haven't read the executive order yet, but is there some sort of ombudsman who will check and see how the agencies are meeting the requirements that the executive order gives them? And would there be a way for people to sort of evaluate, just like there are these online things, evaluate my professor, evaluate my agency?
Pass my driving.
Yeah. Oh, really, just because they might not, they can only improve under that kind of regime.
Good question. I will bring that. That's the National Ocean Council question for the state. I will bring that to that.
Okay. Betsy, there is two prongs of assessment of the plan, right?
Yes. I mentioned that in the presentation, that evaluating the plan itself and how we're doing it with implementing the plan, there will be measures that we take as a region that we need to lay out in terms of how do we measure our accountability, our success, our ability to use the plan, and then evaluating the ecosystem health is the other thread.
Could you have a comment?
Yeah. Oh, Vivian Newman from South Toronto. I'm wondering, perhaps I haven't read this, so I'm speaking out of ignorance, but it seems that one element that is missing here is marine pollution. And there's we're talking about healthy ecosystems and so forth. But all of these activities in some way contribute to marine pollution, and it seems that there should be some effort to bring these people together to address prevention of marine pollution from their own activities.
One reason that some of us, and I'll speak for myself, that I may have trouble responding to the plan, the whole 200 pages of it, is that there are an awful lot of words, but that and pictures when you try to print it out, but not a lot of detail. So I have trouble figuring out. It could take a whole lot of different directions, because the detail isn't there, and somebody will be filling in that detail, and I have no idea what that might be. And I kept thinking as I was reading the half of it that I've read, the phrase that came is, where's the beef, or where's the detail? And it was very frustrating that that wasn't there. And maybe that's why I, anyway, feel an even stronger need to have the coastal communities, the fishing communities, and Vivian would probably also include the natural resources communities involved in the decision-making process. Because having read this plan, I think it could go in about 100 different directions because the detail doesn't seem to be there.
Richard Nelson again. It was just mentioned that the energy industry would like to have some foresight into what's going to happen. At the beginning of this plan, another aspect of what we were looking for is that, in that essence, that we can't be giving up our time for every single little every big or little project that goes on in the coastal main or in the entirety of New England. And yet this plan has not succeeded in develop, you know, it's a plan that doesn't develop a plan as such. So there's no, we're still going to be reliant on a process of a leasing process or a different agency process for every project that comes up. And they're all going to be, as far as I know, they're all going to be separate projects, separate leasing
things.
And we're still left. We haven't solved that issue. I, as a fisherman, how am I going to engage all those separate processes, or how is someone who's in charge of a recreational group going, are they going to have to run up and down the coast engaging in all different kinds of projects? That's just one aspect of that we still need to face somehow, or improve on somehow, how we can combine those things. And there is a little bit of it in that I give data, you know, to that portal, and but it's kind of hard to, I guess, lobster fishing data is not the best data on that portal to begin with, and it's kind of hard to give up your essence of your business and your heart and soul to something like that and not want to go there and fight for it somehow.
Following along with what Richard Lyon there, I certainly agree with most of what he's saying. That, just a comment, here in the state of Maine, we have a very capable man, actually, as a public advocate. he really digs into the different proposals before the legislature that involve the public, particularly things involving the PUC. And I don't know how you might do it, but you should assure somehow along Richard's line that there is somebody somehow in this maze of all these agencies that actually works for the public, who ferrets out all, has the time, maybe gets a decent paycheck, who has the time to dig into these, let's call them side messy issues, so that people like Richard in the industry and lobster and fishing and all the other ocean members have really good representation, whose job it is to know their problems or their concerns, and who can speak well about them, who can actually, if not facilitate, at least support development of critical responses to tough questions from the fisherman lobsterman's point of view. Somebody to represent their interests, who's really skilled at representing people's interests.
Thank you. And do continue to repeat your names, even if you're speaking again, so we can just get it in the
mic. My name's Jim Wadsworth. I've been with fisheries for 20 years or so, and I'm kind of out of it now. I've been working on a project that I really think the oceans, particularly the Gulf of Maine, since is where we are, need a little help these days. I mean, we're warming at the rate faster than any place in the world. Ocean acidification is a potential problem. Toxic algae blooms, I mean, the list goes on and on. I just took an aquaculture course, and when you sit down and look at the pros and cons, you'd be crazy to invest your own money in an aquaculture project today. So I'm hoping that this group will do something to help the ocean rather than help exploit the ocean even more than it's being exploited right now. And if you can do that, then we'll all be happy, I think. And it's a noble cause, so I hope you'll embrace that. And I know that with all these agencies involved, I'm not even clear whether we're talking about state waters or federal waters here, or both.
Both?
Okay. I spoke to the, I sent an email to the Moore Foundation last week or 2 weeks ago because I found an article we built out of Fisherman's Voice that they were the funder for this project, correct?
They contributed some funds for a lot of public funds as well.
And I told them that I'd been working on a project that I thought might be good for the oceans, and they were receptive. And then I wrote again and asked them a couple more questions, and it turns out that they can't help with any funding unless I'm a nonprofit. So I don't know where I go from here with that, or not, but that's either here or there, I guess. But
like your ocean business, that was a non-profit program.
Well, and then ecosystem management features prominently in this discussion too, and I noticed in the article here that some of the people were a little unhappy at one of your meetings, that kind of got shunted to the side at some point, and understandable, but fisheries are all about, you know, the demise of one fishery can be the boon to another fishery. That's kind of the way things work in Maine, as a matter of fact. The lobster fishery is booming now because of the demise of ground fisheries and the urchin fishery, frankly. And I'm sure that's going to continue in other fisheries going forward. But there's so many stressors on fisheries and everything else, and I'm worried that big corporate interests are going to see this as an opportunity to do things that they've been unwilling or unable to do in the past, and instead of reducing stress on the Gulf of Maine, we're going to end up increasing that. Thank you.
Are there any other next steps, pieces of the compost?
I think I covered them in the last couple of slides, but if we're
are we done? Any other comments?
I don't want to cut this short.
Richard, we'll talk.
We're not done, Richard.
Yeah.
I wanted to thank everybody for coming out here tonight and hearing about this plan and giving us feedback on what was clear, what wasn't clear, what kind of detail needs to be there. If not in this plan, you better, you know, figure it out. Really appreciate that. You know, we live and work in your communities too. We're here in New England, and we're really trying to do something that's a foundation for good government going forward. So we really appreciate your feedback. And there's, like I said, there's lots of opportunity in different ways to weigh in in the next couple of months. And please continue to be involved beyond that. So, thank you. Any other? Meredith and Kathleen, do you want to? Anything you want to add?
I just want to say thank you all for coming out, taking the time. You know, it's a lot of time to sit in meetings. It's a lot of time to read the document. I guess I would say, you know, on behalf of the state reps, we are trying to be your voices on this body and in this plan and with the engagement of federal agencies. So provide us your feedback as well about how we're doing.
Great. So thank you for tolerating our formality of our process. I'm glad everyone got a chance to get their comments and questions in. Yeah. But
no number of you mentioned fisheries issues. The RPB is certainly interested in hearing the comments on that, but the council is as well. So if you happen to send in comments by email, I would appreciate it if you would CC Michelle Bachman at the council. Her email address is mbachman@mefmc.org.
And we'll make sure all the comments get to the Fishery Management Council, so she'll see that. Mark, thank you, Mark.
The Fishery Management Council is discussing the plan.
That's correct. The Fishery Management Council's June meeting is in Portland, and they will be discussing this plan. Their meeting is Thursday the 23rd. Yeah, it's the last item on the
agenda.
Yeah. Might as well, because right now I think a lot of these questions are answered. You know, as to what authorities and what, how you can, you know, force an agency to show that they're following.
Yeah.